This is Julie Hewitt, the chair of the Pacifica National Board. Today is, hang on. Today is July 20th, 2023, and this is a regular meeting of the PND. It is 8:40 p.m. on the East Coast, and I believe we have quorum. Nancy, would you call the roll, please?
Risa Allen.
Present.
Thank you. Adriana Casanave. James Dingman. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
I am here.
Thank you. Fred Dodsworth. William Foster. Sue Goodwin. Heather Gray.
Here.
Donna Grimes. Thank you.
She's not coming tonight.
Okay. Marker is absent. Julie Hewitt.
I'm here.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Vanessa. Avelia Jones.
I'm here.
Thank you. Ali Lexa.
Present.
Marianne Martinez. James McFadden. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Thank you. Sean Rhodes.
I am here.
Thank you. James Sagerton.
Here.
Thank you. Jerome Salam.
Yes.
Thank you. Aki Tanaka.
Here.
Beth Van Gunten.
Here.
Thank you. Egberto Willis. Okay, let me go back. Adriana Casanave. James Dingman. Fred Dodsworth, William Foster, Sue Goodwin.
Here.
Thank you. Marianne Martinez. James McFadden. Egberto Willis. Twelve present. And Stephanie Wells.
Stephanie is not going to be here this evening.
Okay. Arthur Schwartz.
He's only going to be here for the closed session, I believe.
Okay. Nancy Sorden is here. Markeisha. I don't believe she's here. Okay. If anybody else shows up, I'll fill you in. I'll fill them in as present, and then I'll mark. I guess so far we have absences: Casanave, Dingman, Dodsworth, Foster, Martinez, McFadden, and Willis.
Actually, I just got a text from James McFadden saying he was running a little bit late, and he hopes to be on within half an hour or so.
This is John.
Move to excuse all the absences.
Did I hear that Donna Grimes was not going to be on the call?
And it is. The PNB met in closed session to discuss confidential contractual, legal, and financial matters. The PNB passed a motion affirming signatory authority on certain bank accounts. And that was the end of the sentence. I don't know why I ended on a high note. I do know why, because of a spacing issue on the agenda, but sorry. So next up is excused absences. And Nancy just read off the names of the folks who are not present at this time. And I, folks, before we get any further on this, I did not send an email out to everyone reminding them that, you know, we would like people to at least send, Fred Dodsworth is present now. Fred, if you'd like to acknowledge.
Hi, I'm here. Thank you. I'm making dinner for my 7-year-old grandson, so I'm going to be in and out.
Gotcha. Okay. Like I said, I didn't send out an email reminding people to at least, you know, do their best to affirmatively send an email suggesting that they wouldn't be available. So at any rate, I would entertain a motion if there was interest in passing a motion on excusing absences.
Madam Chair, Teresa has a question.
So hang on one second. So first I heard Sharon make a motion to excuse the absences, and I heard Vanessa second it.
I'll second it, yes.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, is Donna Grimes included in that?
Donna Grimes is included in the list of people who would be excused, yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Any objections to the motion? Hearing none, we'll consider those absences excused. Okay, which brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is identifying timekeepers. And I need someone to be a timekeeper for people. Any volunteers?
I'll do it, Julie. This is Heather.
Thank you, Heather. And I need someone willing to time us on items.
I really can't. I've got to watch this kid.
Yep, understood. Thank you, Fred. Anyone else?
I'll time items. Did you hear me?
Thank you, Darlene.
That was said just not in the chirpiest way, but I said it, so.
Then.
Julie was frozen. Yeah. Okay. You froze there for a bit.
Oh, yeah. No, I did, didn't I? Sorry about that. That shouldn't be happening. Well, it should never happen, right? But, I upgraded my Wi-Fi.
Well, okay. You're certainly getting your money's worth.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we might have too many things going on here at once. Do I not have a volunteer to time us on items?
Oh, I said I would.
Oh, you said you would. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Maybe that happened while I froze.
Yeah.
Sorry. Thank you, Darlene. Okay, great. So then the next item on the agenda is, agenda approval for the open portion of the agenda is a 5-minute item. Darlene, thank you. Item 3 is approving minutes of the open session for 5 minutes. Item 4 is finance committee motion. There's only one. That's a 15-minute item. Item 5 is a motion on on-air fundraising information. That's a 20-minute item. Item 6 is a motion on elections. That's a 30-minute item. Number 7 is the ED report and Q&A for 10 minutes. Number 8 is general counsel report and Q&A, and that's for 0 minutes. Sorry. item number 9 is discussion on protocol for members to voice concerns about staff. That's a 20-minute item. Then we close out with unfinished business, new business, and move into executive session at a time certain of 10:30. Yeah, the rest of it's closed session. So I'll move the agenda. Can I get a second, please?
Madam Chair.
Yeah, go ahead, Teresa.
I will second, but I would like to suggest that if in the future our ED can't be on the call, well, first of all, we're going to have an ED report without an ED.
I have like, she sent me something and I have like, okay. I'm not going to be able to answer questions, but I'm going to at least read what I can. Right.
Yeah. We might, we know it if far enough in advance, we might want to move our schedule so we can be on the call with the ED in the future. But I did move the agenda.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll just help you all, understand that the reason Stephanie's not here tonight is because she's on an airplane and was slated to be on an airplane earlier and her flight got delayed. And so there you have it. You're right. Ordinarily it would be better to reschedule a meeting, but this is one of those times where we probably couldn't have rescheduled, around that very easily. So, any other, questions or discussion about the agenda? Therese, I'm going to put you on mute. Hearing no other, questions, are there any objections to approving the agenda as drafted? Hearing no objections, we'll consider the agenda approved. Okay, so then that takes us,
approved minutes of open session.
Thank you. Thank you. So Nancy, we do have minutes from the open session of July 6th. Is that, did I get that right? That you sent out to everyone just before the meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Is there, would someone like to move that we approve the minutes of July 6th?
So move, James.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Fred. Any discussion of the minutes from the July 6th meeting? Hearing none. Are there any objections to approving the minutes of the July 6th meeting? Hearing no objections, we'll consider the minutes approved. Of course, as always, if someone should go back and look at the minutes for the meeting later and determine that they have corrections they'd like to make, we can approve them at a future date, but those are the minutes, until such time, and they're approved. Finance committee motion. And so we have one motion, it's listed on it's the second one that's listed under the finance committee and folks, just because we posted the, agenda with both motions on kpftx.org. The problem is we were unable to, distribute the, file, the timelines file to deal with the first motion in advance of the meeting. So, we'll take that up next time, but there is one motion. Jim Sagerton, would you like to, read the motion from the finance committee?
Yes, Chair. Thank you. And just by way of further explanation, the two timelines, were in a chart, created by the secretary of the NFC, and I had trouble editing it and, copying it and pasting it. So I'm going to work with him on that. These are timelines for, the budget process, and, they're not critical to be passed immediately. So the one that we have is 4B. In the appendix on the agenda, and I'll read it. It's monthly, Pacifica monthly financials shall be released to the NFC, the unit managers, business managers, officers of the PNB, and the executive director upon availability and released to the public after approval by the NFC. This was passed unanimously by the NFC. The executive director expressed her, feeling that it would be useful for her in explaining our policy about when and how we release financials. And it grows out of a change. We used to have outside accounting. We had a CFO that was part of that outside accounting NET from NETA. We don't have them anymore, so we are just reestablishing a protocol for the release of our monthly financials, and this is it. It basically follows the same pattern. It just excludes the CFO and distributes them to all of these people at the same time for the purpose of making corrections, checking for accuracy before we release to the public. In the past, there have been some issues with accuracy or with premature release before accuracy was confirmed that led to difficulties. That's the motivation for it.
Thanks, James. Are there questions from other directors about this particular motion from the Finance Committee? Any discussion?
Has Markeisha been told about this?
Yes, Markeisha's copied on everything we do.
Okay, but did she have a chance to respond?
Yeah, it's ready.
I don't think that was her responding. She did not respond. That's all I can say. Yes, she had a chance. She didn't respond. She works very closely with the executive director. I'm quite sure she is aware of what's going on. As I said, we copy her on everything. And I'm sure if she had a comment, we would know.
This is Julie. I agree. Stephanie and Markeisha work really closely together. They're in, you know, fairly constant contact on a daily basis. And so, you know, the only concerns that Markeisha would have that we didn't already hear about would be ones she was not comfortable voicing to Stephanie in the first place. But like I said, since I think they are in near constant communication, they have a good working relationship, and I don't have any reason to believe that there would be any reason for Markeisha to be hesitant to express concerns to
if Stephanie. I may add, Julie.
Yeah, go ahead.
Markeisha is providing Stephanie with the financials, and Stephanie's the one who's distributing them. So again, that communications link is quite solid.
Yep. Thanks. That is helpful. And I will make note that Jim Dingeman has now joined us. Is that right, Jim? You here?
Yeah. Right.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Okay, any other questions about the Finance Committee motion about the release of financials? Hearing no further discussion, are there any objections to passing this motion as a P&B motion? Hearing none, we'll consider that motion a motion of the P&B, passed by the P&B now. Thank you, Jim.
You just gained 10 minutes on that item, Chair.
Awesome. I feel certain we'll find a way to use that before too terribly long here. Okay, so the next item up is the motion on on-air fundraising information. That's the name I gave it, Fred, but it's the motion that you had put forward some time ago and reminded me at our last meeting that we'd never taken it up, but having postponed it once before. So would you like to, this is a 20-minute item, would you like to go ahead and read the motion?
I'd be happy to. Whereas the Pacifica Network is once again in a desperate financial crisis that threatens its continued existence, be it resolved that the PNB orders the general managers at all five stations to submit as soon as possible, but no later than August 15th, data as to the most recent subscriber responses to programming. Specifically, every program and every time slot shall provide garnered or committed, garnered being promised, or committed sum total subscriber contributions toward the operating expenses in the network promised or delivered to the station for that program and time slot. Additionally, for each program and time slot that offers premiums the cost of acquiring all such premiums, including the cost of delivering such premiums, shall also be provided. End.
Okay, so this is a motion that Fred Dodsworth put forward. Does Fred have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Aki. Okay, discussion on Fred's motion. Okay, so I see, oh, James McFadden, I see your hand.
Yeah, I just wanted to check in that I was actually listening to the meeting on the stream on the way here, but it was too much trouble to try to get the Zoom on my phone while driving. So I'm back in.
Gotcha. Thank you. So then I see, Jim Dingman's hand. Go ahead, Dingman.
All right. I completely support this. I also want to add that, about a year or 2 years ago, we passed a motion to get the same kind of information from the stations, and we basically got stonewalled by, several of them. And so I hope that that motion is still active. I will acquaint the board once again, perhaps tomorrow. I'm not near my laptop as to the contents of that motion because it does supplement what is being said. I personally think we get this information constantly, in detail, and to take no for an answer is ridiculous because we all know that the actual fundraisers are minutely monitored and each show that earns money is minutely monitored. So I look forward to seeing that information.
Thanks, Jim. Next up is Vanessa.
So I just wanted to ask the question, depending on what the data says, what would or could be the impact to the programs? And are you asking the GMs to get this data for a static period of time or over a period of time, since the amount of money raised by different programs can fluctuate?
Am I to answer that question?
Yeah, go right ahead, Fred.
I would see this as being an ongoing issue, and the reason we're looking for this data is to see which programs work and to see if we can't do this thing that we've been talking about, which is create a network identity where some of those programs are tried in other stations to see if they work there as well. I also would love to get this data from our affiliates, but we can't ask our affiliates to do that, but there is a lot of good programming out there. If we are to survive as a network, we have to work together cooperatively, and we have to get this data on a regular basis in perpetuity.
So, Chair, I just...
Yeah, go ahead, Vanessa.
So, in terms of what... I hear the intent and the goal, but depending on the data... what decisions could be made, or is it anticipated would be made, about programs that I'm not sure by what criteria they would, be measured, but what's the possible impact to some programs?
The possible impact is wide
open. Go ahead, Fred.
The possible impact is wide open, but I am not asking or stating that there should be any stated impact. I'm simply looking for the sort of data that can allow us as a PNB with the fiduciary responsibility for the network to make the best decisions as we move forward. I'm looking at this as a positive rather than a punitive issue. I think that those programs that work and should be allowed to be tried in other networks, if that's what the local program director wants. And I think that the LSBs, the local program directors, the general managers of the local stations have the majority votes. I do not think that the PNB has any role in dictating programming, but I think we have to work together if we want the network to survive.
So you're saying that it's informational, and
that's correct.
PDs network-wide could look at it and say, hey, let me try this, that, or the other program.
That's my assumption.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Vanessa. Beth, you're up.
Yes, just a question. I remember that not long after I first got to our LSD,
that KPFK unsubscribed from the ratings services as a cost-cutting measure because we were instructed to cut costs. So I'm wondering, I questioned the wisdom of that then, but I'm wondering what will the cost be to do this? Have we calculated that, and where would that money come from?
The ratings are not included in this. This is not a ratings issue. We're simply looking at revenues generated versus costs.
Okay. Thank you.
Got it. Thank you. Next up is McFadden.
Is this motion, by the way, in the agenda?
James, if you're talking, you're muted.
I can hear him.
Is this motion in the, chat?
Go ahead.
Is this motion in the chat, and is it, or is it in the agenda? I'm just popping the agenda open right now.
It's in the agenda.
Okay. I'll take a look at it then. And so I just wanted to ask, you know, how this was different than what, Jim Dingman tried to get before, and whether this is going to put any, burden on the ED over the next month, when we're trying to take care of other business that's critical, or is it just putting a burden onto all the general managers?
So let me, take a small crack at answering the question about at least the burden on ED, the ED part. So one of the things that, happened, you know, Fred raised the idea that we needed to put this motion on the agenda 2 weeks ago. And in a side conversation, Stephanie and I talked about the fact that she was going to bring this up in her, now fairly routine meetings with all the general managers. And then one of the things I think that happened as a consequence of that conversation is, although he must have started working on it, longer ago than that, apparently Antonio, the interim GM at KPFA, has created what Stephanie called an amazing spreadsheet, that breaks down this kind of information that Fred's talking about in, you know, fairly significant detail, and they're making some tweaks to the spreadsheet. But one of the things they're going to do is, because it's a template, I mean, obviously every station has different shows, but nonetheless, it provides a template that if, you know, if you put the information in this, you know, kind of format, it will generate some, you know, results that I think can help stations understand, you know, in a nutshell, what, you know, how different programs are doing. Now the one thing that I think is the case is that it took Antonio a while to, you know, compile all the statistics and the, compile all the data so that it would generate the statistics. But the point is they are happy to share it with the other, GMs, and, I think apparently they meet the second Tuesday of the month. So that happened. The July meeting already happened. So the next time they would get together to talk about it, unless they schedule an extra meeting, would be the August, meeting. So anyway, that's what Stephanie, shared about that. What I can answer, off the top of my head is how this might differ from, the motion that Jim Dingman, put forward in the PMV passed a year ago. Jim Dingman, can you respond to that part of the question?
It is an add-on to what I put on there because, Justin, this is my opinion. One station, people threatened to sue me. And what I find a little absurd about this is that it is essential for us to get the past Nielsen and Arbitron ratings for each station going historically in depth, because one can figure out what their current listenership is from that data. That was never supplied except by one or two stations. And at the same time, the idea that nobody is monitoring how each show does financially, I found ludicrous. This does indeed pinpoint the fact that we need to get financial metrics that are going on right now. We can certainly go back and get that other information. I'm glad that Fred's doing this because I'm going to resuscitate that motion. And we can figure things out and at the same time get a better sense of how we're doing in terms of each show, in terms of people listen to it, et cetera.
Thanks, Jim. It got you, Sharon. Okay. There's a couple people ahead of you. First, Sue Goodwin. Sue?
Hi. I just want to remind folks of what they already know, which is these are, I agree, important numbers to collect. And what we're looking for is patterns. But what we got to be careful about is not letting this process turn into something destructive, because there are so many things that influence what happens during a particular hour in terms of listenership and finances. Day part, as you know, is the biggest factor that affects listenership in public radio. Loyalty to host, so newer hosts definitely have a tougher time. So, you know, as we know, we got to look at intersecting variables to figure out why something may or may not be working by the measure we are using.
Thanks, Sue.
Thanks, Sue.
Sagerton's up next.
Thank you, Chair. Certainly agree with what Sue said. We need to have this information, but we also need to use it intelligently and sensitively, et cetera. I will note that in the past, when this information was sought, the executive director explained to us that the general managers just didn't have it in several cases. I don't know if that included KPFA at that time, and then now the IGM there has created something that didn't exist before. But I'm not sure that, you know, at least according to Stephanie's last report on this, whether all the stations have this information. Jim Dingman asserts that, of course, they do. It's a no-brainer. I would think so. I know WBAI has it. I look at it almost every day.
It's
released it. We've had it's been released at the NFC and otherwise. So I'm sure some stations have it. I'm not sure all have it. So we may have to revisit that aspect of it, because it's only August 15th is only what, 3 weeks away, 4 weeks away?
Yeah, that's right. So thank you, Jim. I'll remind folks that in effect, I think this is accurate, that Jim Dingaman's motion of a year ago was about fundraising information as well as Nielsen or other type ratings, right? And Fred Dodsworth's motion is really about just the financial information in terms of what's raised show by show, as well as the cost of premiums that might be associated with particular programs, right? So in that sense, it seems to me that Fred's motion is asking for somewhat less information, which means you can't use it to answer quite as many different questions. But nonetheless, this really is information that all the stations should have at hand. So just wanted to, you know, make sure everybody was on the same page about that. And so then, Dingman, you had your hand up next. Go ahead.
I'll wait till the other people finish.
Okay. Then I'm going to recognize Sharon next.
Well, I think this question in reference to BAI is being used all the time to determine quite a few things, and including whether or not a program should be moved, changed, shortened on the station. If they're not bringing in any money, if they're not doing well enough to be at a specific time, those types of changes are going on many times. But also, when you're looking at this, and it's almost like you're blaming the programmers in a sense for everything that's happening with this, with the non-raising of the funds, and the programming, the funds, the fundraising, the premiums that are being produced. And oftentimes I hear from members of our station that they're not receiving the premiums. So they're paying for something they haven't received. No one is really trying to figure out what's happening with that. because maybe that is one of the factors that turn people off from purchasing premiums that would include the ability to raise more funds. Or maybe we should really think of a different way of raising funds that doesn't include premiums. But I see this as really a very, as something that can be extremely punitive. And also I see that when you're doing these types of things, it's no incentive to work with the programmers, at least from what I have seen, that helps them to, let's say, regenerate their show, enhance their show, build it up in other types of ways that might be, well, they don't have that kind of support within the stations. And how, you know, it's very odd to me. I'll just stop at that.
Thanks, Sharon. Heather, you're next.
Yes, I just want to ask Fred. Fred, you were talking about the affiliates perhaps participating in this, or you had a question about it. But what could we do? What could the affiliates do along this line?
Well, as you and I have discussed before, the affiliates have some excellent programs that we don't know about. And if we had some of this information, we might find that some of the station program directors would be interested in trying some of those programs in their spots that become available. I know there was a great deal of anguish recently about the decision that RG made at KPFA, where he stuck a program in the middle of the night because he didn't have anything else to fit. And this gives everybody more options. I really think that the affiliates, as you and I have discussed, have some excellent programming that we could use and we could really use well to build our national, our, you know, continental identity, and that we could make the entire network more positive. So I'm not looking to punish anybody. I'm looking for data, and I'm looking for, people who want to get on the boat and help us, chop wood and carry water.
Okay. So, Julie, I just want to thank Fred for that. And Fred, you and I need to discuss this again and move forward on this.
I love that idea.
So let's do that then. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that, because I think one of the things that, you know, if the affiliates were willing to share, you know, not maybe information on all their financials, but, you know, something about which of their shows, you know, or what their top earning show earned, for example, you know, that might help, the five network stations, you know, decide whether they were willing to, you know, take on airing one of those programs or not. So something to be said for that. Thank you for, agreeing to work together on this.
I'm sorry to jump in, but you do understand a top earning show is going to be host driven almost every time. So we just have to recognize those factors.
Yeah. Understood. And so somebody has two microphones open that we're getting this feedback, but okay. Alex is next.
Chair, time is up for this item.
Thank you, Darlene. So
exhaust the stack.
I second that.
Okay, so hold on, folks. Even though I didn't recognize her, Beth said motion to exhaust the stack, to extend to exhaust the stack, and somebody else seconded that. I think it might have been Dingaman. And so I had actually recognized Ali first, but and so just generally speaking, it would be easier if, you know, even though time is up, if I've already recognized someone, give them the opportunity to make the motion to extend. But we have that motion on the floor. So are there any objections to the motion to extend to exhaust the stack? The stack includes Ali, Lexa, Beth, Teresa, McFadden, and, or Dingaman and McFadden, both of whom have already spoken. But that's
Sean
the
stack. Sean would like to get on the stack.
Oh, and Sean too. Sorry. I did hear you speaking a moment ago. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate that. And Jim Sagerton. I now see Jim Sagerton's hand too. So motion to extend to exhaust the stack. It really is, seven speakers. So just so people realize, that probably means we're in for at least another 15 minutes. Any discussion of the motion to extend? Any objections to the motion to extend? Hearing none, that's what we'll do. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you just object, Sharon?
Yes, because a number of these people have spoken more than once, and they're extending the stack so that they can get another crack at the apple.
Thank you. Are there,
I haven't spoken.
There are people who have not yet spoken. Are there, so what I'm trying to do is, register Sharon's objection, but not necessarily go to a roll call vote if we don't absolutely need to, because roll call votes take time. Are there other objections besides Sharon's? Okay, hearing no other objections, we'll consider the motion to extend passed. Ali Lexa is who I was about to recognize. Go ahead, Ali.
Okay, so I just wanted to let everyone know that a lot of this data that's in this motion that's being requested is already readily available by the stations that are using MemSys, Allegiance, or We Did It. We can generate, at least at KPFK using We Did It, we can generate reports with whatever parameters or criteria we want, very much in line what the motion is asking for. So it's not a lot of extra work, especially not for the GMs, because usually the person running the business or fund drive department would be handling that. I handled it when I was working fund drives online at KPFK. So if the GM at KPFA has a spreadsheet that fits with a lot of these requests, we could make that standardized. And any of these accounting programs I just mentioned can export the data in a CSV file order, which can be imported into that spreadsheet. And we could have a nice standardized spreadsheet for us to look at of all the stations. And like I said, it's not a great deal of work, since the software already generates the reports. And if he's already created a spreadsheet that's very functional, it shouldn't be much work. So I don't think we're asking for a lot. And also, I noticed the motion doesn't have anything in it written about punishment or punitiveness towards any shows. It looks to me like it's basically just to help all the stations see what programming is working that they might be interested in possibly trying. That's all.
Thanks, Ali. Beth and then Sean. Go ahead, Beth.
And Teresa.
Thank you.
I know that, Teresa. Keep going, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, two brief points. One, first, that metrics are not necessarily punitive. They're also useful for giving credit where credit is due. And secondly, I'd like to clarify lines of accountability and just be sure that we're clear that reporting comes up through senior management to the PNB and not on demand in response to individual directors. That employees are accountable to their supervisors and not to every last one of the 20-some directors that occupy governance. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Sean, you're next.
The motion calls for data as to the most recent subscriber responses to programming. That's vague. There should be a uniform starting point. It could be a week, a month, 2 months. So I would amend that to add data as to the most recent subscriber responses to programming starting from May 1st, 2023, just so everyone's on the same page.
I'm fine with that amendment.
Are you so fine, Fred, that you're seconding it?
Sure. With a slight clarification, I assume that this would be an ongoing, not a 100 only data collection.
Ah, but But okay, that's fair. And so then the impact of Sean's motion or to amend would be to put everybody at least on the same starting point footing.
That's fine.
Teresa for the stack. I'd like to say something about this.
Yes, because we have to stick now to the motion to amend. So, go ahead, Teresa.
Did you say May of 2023?
Yeah. Correct.
I think you ought to go back a year. I don't think that's going to hurt. I think they say what gets measured gets done. So it's now July. So you only want to measure what happened from May. I think that there are some programs that have been on the air for a very long time and don't raise any money. They may have changed. So I think it'd be good to see if there was a difference. And you don't have anything to, if you only go back to May, you don't have anything to compare it to. So
make a point.
Why would you only measure a month and a half?
Yeah, Fred, go ahead.
I'm not interested in being punitive. I really look at this as an ongoing metric that we can use as we go forward. So the idea of bogging us down with asking these people to come up with a year's worth of data is just, I think, going to stall the thing. I would rather just pick a date, start, move forward, and be, you know, the responsible fiduciary agents that we are.
But may I finish my thought?
Sure.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I think we have fewer employees than any other station in the network, and I think we have that information. And I think that it's just data that's been plugged in, and it's not a subjective thing, and I don't think it should be that complicated. And I think I don't quite know why you wouldn't provide that data. And you said that when Jim made the motion, people didn't provide it. That's just odd, and why not? Why not provide it? So I'm going to vote against this amendment unless it goes back some further. I mean, going back to May is, I think, not very helpful.
Thanks, Teresa. I still have, so this is the weird part. We had a motion to extend to exhaust the stack, but that was the stack on the original motion. And now we have an amendment. We have to deal with the amendment before we can go back to the original motion stack. Is there anyone else who wants to speak on, Sean's amendment?
Yeah, I'd like to speak to it.
Go ahead, Dingman.
Well, first of all, the motion that we passed, now 2 years ago is still functioning. So I have no problem with Sean's amendment because the motion that we passed basically covers exactly what Teresa argues, that we can go back far and get the information. So, you know, if they want to start in May, fine. But the motion that we passed still is functioning, still is operational. It's just a question of it being implemented. So I agree with the motion that Sean passed, and we just have to get the other desire to get information gathered together. And that's, it's no big deal.
All right, thanks. Ali, it looks like you raised your hand to speak to the amendment.
Oh, sorry.
Is that okay? Any other points about the amendment itself? All right, I'm not hearing. Yeah, go ahead, Nancy.
Is it in the email?
The amendment?
Yeah. What was the amendment again?
Yeah, the amendment was to add, starting from May 1, 2023, May 1st.
Yeah, you're adding
instead of August 15th?
No. It goes after that.
I'm sorry.
Where it says data as to the most recent subscriber responses to programming, that's where you put in my amendment, starting from May 1st, 2023, and then continue on with the rest of it.
Point of information.
Yeah, go ahead, Teresa.
I thought Dingman said was useful, but I'm confusing. Are are you saying, Sean, that what your motion, your amendment supersedes what Dingman did? So now we're not going to look at that previous information?
My amendment has nothing to do with Dingman's previous motion. I'm just addressing the starting point for this motion that's in front of us now.
Okay, Madam Chair, if you're thinking I'm the one that's objecting, I'm not objecting anymore after I heard what Dingman had to say. Thank you.
Ah, okay, thank you. Okay, so let me then see, are there any objections to Sean's amendment to the main motion?
I'm sorry, which was starting from April 21st?
May 1st.
Thank you, sorry.
May 1st. Yep.
I got it. I got it now.
Hearing no objections, we'll consider the motion amended. And so now we are back to completing the stack on the main motion. And the people who are on the stack still are Dingman, Teresa, McFadden, and Sagerton. Go ahead, Dingman.
All right. Well, these are the most important issues because it bears on the implications of how we raise revenue right now. 90% of plus of our revenue is raised through our listener member donors. And obviously, the issue raised earlier, punitiveness, to be objective about this, there are, you know, we operate in a system, a network, and we're all aware of the lack of inputs in terms of training, in terms of being able to do higher paid staff. In New York, for example, there used to be 4 to 5 people just dealing with programming issues. That doesn't exist anymore. There's only 2 that have to multitask. So there are many, many factors that lead to the current problems we're having. But it is important for us to get this objective information because what are we're a broadcasting institution, and this is what we do. So we have to really understand how it's working out with the audiences. And the question raised earlier about premiums, you know, some of us on this phone call spent a lot of time dealing with the problems of premiums in New York City in particular. And the fundamental problem there was lack of resources to buy them on a timely basis. And until that's changed, we will simply go back and forth on these issues. So, yes, I'm totally in support of this motion. I'm going to resuscitate what I did a year ago now as a result of this. And the whole question is how to figure out how to get out of our current malaise and improve the whole network as a whole. And all this information will help. And, you know, to sit there and finger point at one person or another person when we know all these other factors exist structurally doesn't help. And so I hope that this gets passed, and I support it 100%.
Thank you. Teresa, you're next. All right, let's go to McFadden, and I'll come back to Teresa.
Yes, since I don't think every station GM is necessarily going to do the exact same thing, I would like to amend the motion to include each GM will include a 1-page summary that includes how the data was acquired and compiled and what assumptions were made. That's the end of the motion. I'm going to put it in the amendment, excuse me. I'm going to put it in the chat. And the reason I'm asking this is just, you know, so we can kind of understand the differences between different stations because, I don't want to have a big burden, but a 1-page summary of what was done, I think, to just inform us so that we can have a sense of how accurate and differences between different stations play into these numbers. And I'm going to include that in the chat, this amendment, and I hope someone will second that.
Is there anyone who would like to second McFadden's?
I'll second it.
Okay, thank you. I heard Dingman. And just to read it again, each GM will include a one-page summary that includes how the data was acquired and compiled and what assumptions were made. Okay, so now we're speaking only to McFadden's amendment, and you don't have to take your hand down if you were on the stack for the original motion and I didn't get to you yet, although it's not very many people left. But Teresa, did you want to speak to this particular
amendment? I support his amendment, so I'll pass for now.
Okay. Sagerton, did you want to speak to this amendment? Okay, you were fuzzy, and then you stopped talking, so I think you're saying no.
I was asked if there are any objections.
Oh, are there any, well, I was just looking to see if there was anybody who, okay, are there any objections to McFadden's motion to amend?
Yeah.
Hearing no objections, we will add that amendment to the main motion.
Unmute, Julie.
I'm sorry. Who is it that's the noise?
Sharon objected.
I'm sorry. Sharon objected.
And Darlene.
Okay. Are there, again, I'm only trying to avoid the time it takes to go through a roll call vote if not necessary, but nonetheless register Darlene and Sharon's objections. Are there any other objections to McFadden's amendment? Hearing none, we will consider the amendment passed over the objections of Sharon and Darlene. Okay, so now we are back to the main motion, now twice amended.
Can I call a question?
Well, I didn't recognize you, so, and that's because I've got a stack in front of you, which are Teresa Sagerton and now Nancy. Go ahead, Teresa.
Okay. I do want to call to everyone's attention, and probably the program directors are using this, but AudioPort shows what is available, like you might call them satellite shows that are available to anyone. I think that frequently our program directors feel that we have staff and we don't want to take other shows. Like we don't want to take alternative radio. We want to give somebody that's talented enough in our neighbor, in our community to do their own show. But those are available. And while I have been on receiving AudioPort notices, I found them very informative about what is available out there. Some of them sound very exciting. So that is already available. And our affiliates know that they have some very good shows and they are available to us. Also, I had a great talk the other day with a former board member of KPFT, T.C. Smythe, who lives in somewhat of a remote area of Colorado. And she's the events coordinator for KLZR in Westcliff, Colorado. Very small, population there, but they don't have any pledge drives. They make their money from a little tiny bit of underwriting and events. So it is possible to raise money if you have somebody that's smart enough and dedicated enough to find other means of raising money. So, but I do support this motion because I feel it's absolutely critical to know what is relevant and taking all kinds of things into consideration. We still need to be fiscally responsible. So we need to know who's raising money, whether it's in the middle of the night, like Roy of Hollywood raised money, or a show like the Princeton show on KPFT, where you wouldn't think people had money, but somehow they raise quite a bit of money because people feel it's really important to them. Thank you.
Thanks. Sagerton, and then that's the end of the discussion. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, thanks. I think we really need this data. We've needed it for a long time. Previously, this kind of data has been regarded as proprietary or confidential or even personnel related. So I think we do need to be a little careful how we use it, especially with paid employees involved. It's clear that we absolutely need this kind of data. And this is a breath of fresh air. The air of secrecy around this kind of data in the past has been really, confining. So
this is a good thing. And let's be honest, clearly this kind of data can be used to alter grid schedules, but that's not punishment. That's just dealing with reality. So let's not be afraid. Let's just go ahead. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, so even though I hadn't recognized Fred to call the question, debate's now ended. So are there any objections to Fred's motion as amended, both by Sean and James McFadden?
Read the motion.
Ooh. Nancy, can you read the motion?
Sure. Okay. Whereas the Pacific is once again in a desperate financial crisis that threatens its continued existence, be it resolved that the PNB orders the general managers at all five stations to submit as soon as possible, but no later than August 15th, data as to the most recent subscriber responses to programming starting from May. Specifically, every program in every time slot shall provide garnered or committed sum total subscriber contributions toward the operating expenses of the network promised or delivered to the station for that program and time slot. Additionally, for each program and time slot that offers premiums, the cost of acquiring all such premiums, including the cost of delivering such premiums, shall also be provided. Each GM will include a one-page summary that includes how the data was acquired and completed and compiled and what assumptions were made.
All right. Are there any objections to the motion?
Yes.
All right. Are there any objections other than Sharon's objection?
I have an objection that I think there's an internal conflict, contradiction in it. In that it starts out talking about fund drive information, and then everybody who piled on to try to make it more, now it goes back to May. So that's not 310. It makes it a different project. I think that the issue was the first thing we can look at is the fund drives. In the case of KPFA, the fund drive director, the general manager, and the business manager are all working with the numbers. We have the the time to put into it. But to go back to May, that's more than a burden. And I don't know that other stations also have that kind of robustness in their staff that they can, pull it away.
Point of information on this issue.
Go ahead.
Yeah. WPFW has maintained this kind of data for years. It's simply a question of hitting a couple of strokes on a computer, and we could get that data going back many years. BAI has compiled this data for many years. So we're not talking about a difficult kind of situation, and I refresh people's memory. People in the Bay Area threatened to sue me when I was asking for this information, and so, it's ridiculous. Anyway, it's no big deal to ask for this kind of information.
Jim, I thought you were asking a question. I'm sorry. I was in the middle of asking whether there were any objections. Darlene objected based on thinking right. That it was internally inconsistent. And so we're not discussing anymore. The question is, are there objections other than Sharon's and Darlene's? Again, I'm just trying to avoid the time it takes to go through a roll call vote, if that's not necessary. All right, hearing no other objections, we will consider the motion passed over the objections of Darlene and Sharon. Okay, so that takes us to
The next item on the agenda, which is a 30-minute item, and I apologize to everyone about the feedback that was just a moment ago, because I called into the meeting as well just to make sure that if my internet gave up on me, that I would still be on the call. And so I apologize. I thought I'd muted the right thing. Okay, so the next item up is motions on elections. I had put this item on the agenda because much like Fred's motion, which we just went over at the July 6th meeting, there was, I believe, that we had motions, or at least I believed at the time that we, that I was putting together this agenda, that we had motions from Vanessa on the elections process. And in any event, there is a motion from the elections committee. And so maybe I'll let Aki go first with the elections committee motion, because it, I believe it passed the committee. And then we'll get to Vanessa's motions if she's still interested in making them. Go ahead, Aki.
Okay. This is a fairly simple motion. It has to do with the fair campaign provision. There's a rule number 6, which, you know, basically says that no person shall make libelous and slanderous statement about candidates. And all we wanted to do, because some of the people have been using the election campaign to speak about other employees, staff, and board members. So we just want to add a little phrase that says, no libelous or slanderous statements about candidates and individually named particular employees, staff, and board members. So just adding those three groups of people that people shouldn't be making any statements about during the campaign. So it's just an amendment to the fair, you know, campaign provision.
John,
and Aki.
And I put the motion in the chat too.
He put the motion in the stack and in the chat, and I also just pasted it again so you don't have to scroll way up in the chat. And Aki, I just want clarification. This was a motion that was passed by the elections committee, right?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it. Was that Sean? I'm sorry, a moment ago. Yes, go ahead, Sean.
I'm on the PNB elections committee. I just wanted to clarify. Rule 6 pertains to any candidate or candidate supporter using foundation or station resources to make libelous or slanderous statements about candidates. And then we're adding those other groups, Pacifica employees, staff, and board members, to the rest of that's there. So I just wanted to make that clarity for everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. I was trying to shorten it too much. Yeah.
Yeah, appreciate that, Sean. Sagerton, I see your hand. Go ahead. And then Nancy. And then Sharon. Okay, go ahead, Sagerton.
I'm kidding when I say this, but I'm glad we can slander and libel people all we want as long as we're not using station resources. But I guess we'll be responsible for that on our own if we're taken to court. Right. So I just wanted to ask, is there any – I don't see any teeth in this. What are the consequences?
Well, you know, that's a good question.
It is a good question. Arthur's not here to help us figure out. How to add teeth, but nonetheless, this is the motion that the elections committee passed. One of the things we could do is we could approve this motion as the PNB this evening. Right. And then at least this part is in effect, and we could, you know, either ask the, well, maybe it's not necessarily the purview of the elections committee, but we could entertain, we can always amend a motion previously adopted at a future meeting if someone comes up with the best way to add teeth to this motion would be to add blah, blah, fill in the blank. And so we could always revisit it. So I just want to, you know, kind of share that with folks as a path forward.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Nancy, you have a question.
Okay. It looks like what was written in the chat that there's a motivation written there that's not part of the motion, I think, and it starts, there have been problems with the with defamation and bullying using Pacifica resources. Is that, that's not
yeah.
part of the motion,
Aki,
right?
Can you confirm?
Yeah, that is the motivation. It's like, it's not part of the motion.
So I'm going to remove that from there till
to the end.
Right.
That whole paragraph.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so
is so the motion is just the first paragraph.
The motion,
well, the from Rule 6, and then the amendment to Rule 6.
You're cutting out, Nancy.
You're cutting in and out.
Let me get rid of the AirPods because that's probably.
Okay, now we can't hear you. Oh, you might need to actively change your microphone on something. Can you put your question in the chat, Nancy, and then I'll read it? I still can't hear you. McFadden, why don't you ask your question and while we're working out Nancy's audio issues.
Okay. Let me just start out by saying, who decides what is frivolous and libelous? So who's going to make these decisions about what is frivolous and libelous? And once that person decides, what is the check on whether that decision was made? And what is the, consequences if someone who decides that something is frivolous and libelous takes action against a candidate? This seems to be a whole can of worms about control. So what if a candidate, you know, as part of his campaign or her campaign or their campaign, decides to criticize a show that they disagree with? Is that out of bounds, you know? What if a candidate wants to criticize the type of guests that a person has on the show because of the politics that they present? Is that something that we can't have? Do we have, as all the candidates can do is have some kind of, milquetoast sort of, statements? And the whole idea that, you know, that, about, bullies, you know, bullies like to call other people bullies when they disagree. So I think this is just part of this is really about who gets to silence who during this campaign. And in particular, this came up in a recent KPFA LSB meeting where one of the candidates was silenced by the chair. And I don't necessarily agree with what the candidate said. I'm just saying was silenced for making a criticism of somebody on board that they didn't like.
James?
So I think it's just, this is a huge can of worms on like how much we're going to meddle in what candidates can say. And I think we should leave this to, and not at the PNB level. This should be left to the person running the elections.
Thanks. Nancy, did you get your audio thing fixed?
Yeah, I did. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So the motion is to amend rule number 6. What is rule number 6? Do you want to say what that is? Is that, where's that from?
The Fair Campaign.
From the Fair Campaign.
It's in the election website and the paragraph that is in there is the paragraph number 6. And then we're just adding the one, the phrase that is at the top of that.
It's paragraph number 6 that you want.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And then you're just adding the phrase.
I just want to make sure people don't know where to get this paragraph number 6 from the FAIR campaign
provisions.
Thank you. On the election website. Or it's just the FAIR campaign provision of Pacifica's elections.
Right.
Thank you.
And I will just add that the FAIR campaign provisions are also, they're also supported in the bylaws, right? So,
And it's so that it reads no person in management or staff or any candidate or,
correct.
Right. Or slanderous statements about candidates and individually named Pacifica employees, staff and board members through.
Correct. Right. Okay. And I think the key part here is that, you can't use Pacifica resources. That's the key. Rule 6 doesn't, it's not about every statement a person makes. It's about you can't use. And so, okay, go ahead, Darlene, then Aki, then Dingman, then Sagerton. Go ahead, Darlene.
Okay, first to what James said.
Oh, I'm sorry, and I got Sharon on the list too. Sorry, keep okay. going, Darlene.
To what James said, the word frivolous doesn't appear in this proposal. The word bully is down in the motivation, not part of this proposal, and it doesn't say anything about not being able to name a show. It says individually named Pacifica employees, staff, and board members. So all these things James is bringing up aren't even there. And of course this has teeth in it, because any violation of the FAIR campaign practices, we have an arbiter on that. We have a person whose job is to respond to claims of transgressions of the practices. And I would point out that in a previous election that I keep hearing about over and over and over again, because of what were considered FAIR campaign election violations, three people who won their election were eliminated as candidates by the National Election Supervisor. So it does have teeth. It does have teeth. Thanks.
Chair, may I make an inquiry?
Julie, you're muted.
If it's in response to something, I'm sorry, what I was saying was, is it important to make your inquiry right at this point? If it was in response to something Darlene said, you're on the stack and you can just respond then.
No, I think it is important. I do. You can judge.
I don't want to judge.
All right, I don't see how this isn't jumping the stack, but go ahead.
It's an inquiry. I want to know who makes... We're trying to amend the FAIR campaign provisions, and I just, maybe I should, but I don't know who created the FAIR campaign provisions. I know they're somewhat reflected in the bylaws, but is that something the NES is responsible for? Does she alter them if she wants to? Where do they come from?
Do you think that NES did the additional campaign provisions to supplement the one in the bylaws?
That's what the
I
fair campaign.
I think that is correct.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Dingaman's next.
All right. Well, example last night was in a committee in New York. Somebody decided to accuse a paid staff member of being a fraud and asked for his dismissal immediately. Now, I tend to understand the intent of this because people feel that they can run rampant and say whatever they want to say about someone else without any consequences. We've seen that in all sorts of cases this board has dealt with openly and in executive session. So that's a problem. But I do think the issue of who, you know, sort of like Plato's Republic, who's the guardian class? Who decides who shall know, who shall rule, who shall be told what to do? And who makes those decisions? And I do understand, again, what Aki and the rest of those folks on the electoral committee are trying to do. On the other hand, I sort of also completely understand what Jim's raising in the sense that, you know, who makes these decisions? And so I think that, you know, we're going to have to work on this and make sure this is not unfairly applied. And as I can see, the NES is the person who ultimately determines this, not any of us, the way we've set this up. So I hope that it doesn't stifle debate and get used and weaponized for certain people say, you know, here we can use this to justify ourselves to silence our enemies if they decide to get a little rambunctious. And my feeling is, unfortunately, given how this election will be, probably the Pacifica equivalent of 1800 in the presidential elections in the United States, you know, that's going to go out the door. So I think we're going to have to be working on this throughout every single meeting we have to make sure that this is fairly done and not done in a capricious and self-interested fashion.
Thanks, Jim. Sagerton's next. Go ahead.
Chat. I don't know if it was you, Chair, about where the campaign provisions are in the bylaws, but you know, it seems like this may be another one of these things that we're going to recommend to the NES, and you know, she may decide to honor our recommendation or part of it, and she may not.
It is true.
Yeah, excellent point. And thank you. And Sharon.
Am I next?
Yes.
Oh, well, I believe I heard a piece in there that said that regarding what the campaigners say and their supporters. How are you going to, are the campaigners going to be blamed for whatever it is the supporters say during whatever time the supporters have time for this type of situation? Because, you know, I can understand you wanting to control the campaigners, but how can you control people who are calling in?
That's a good question.
Hang on. One of the things that I think, you know, Dingaman raised, the question that, you know, somebody said something about, I mean, although I don't know whether this person was necessarily a candidate, right? But somebody said something about somebody else in a committee meeting. And I think perhaps one of the things we're going to need to do is the following. The fair campaign provisions clearly apply to the candidates and the candidates can be disqualified. I think Sharon's raised an important point, which is somebody who is not a candidate could, you know, try to, you know, sort of use Pacifica resources as it were, you know, to make, you know, a statement that would, you know, fly in the face of fair campaign provisions about another person who is running perhaps, by virtue of, I mean, somebody might do that by virtue of being a supporter of another candidate, say something about a different candidate. And one of the things I think we're going to have to do is just make sure, for example, that committee chairs for all of our committees that are streamed over the air, right? It's one thing if you have a committee meeting that is or a working group that's not streamed, but if it's a public meeting that's streamed, the chair is going to have to be proactive and immediately shut down. A, they're going to have to know who the candidates are, and B, they're going to have to immediately shut down, you know, these kinds of statements because, you know, technically speaking, at least until we talk to Arthur, I think, you know, it's or Renee about fair campaign provisions and how they're interpreted. We need to make sure that people are not using Pacifica resources to do what otherwise looks like campaigning. I think Nancy's in Dingaman's hands. Go ahead, Nancy. Can't hear you.
So I think I heard Aki respond to Sagerton that, yes, that's he took Sagerton's comment as a friendly amendment to change his motion that he presented to say the PNB recommends amending paragraph 6.
Right.
I'm sorry, I missed that. So thank you. Good catch, Nancy. So let's stick to Sagerton's motion to amend. Is that what you wanted to talk about, Dingaman? Or Teresa or Beth?
Not specifically.
No, I mean,
no. Well,
Aki said, yes, that's what I meant. I think that Aki said that's what I meant it to say.
Okay, fair enough.
It's
not actually a motion to amend.
Right. I think it's Aki said that is what I meant to say. I presented the motion. Is that right, Aki?
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough.
I just wanted to write it that way. That's all.
You're going to write it that way and just making sure that everybody else understands. Okay. So that it's not technically speaking an amendment.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
The motion says the PNB recommends amending.
Yes. Gotcha. Okay. All right. So thank you, Nancy. So that means we're at Dingaman and then Teresa and then Beth. Go ahead, Dingaman.
Well, I'll be brief. It's raised about how one can deal with listener members making phone calls. Well, let's be blunt. I mean, all of us have been involved with these elections since they started, and it has certainly been a tactic to get your allies to do your dirty work for you and line them up. Couple phone calls at a time to essentially do precisely what we're trying to guard against. So I think that one has to use a lot of common sense. I don't agree with this motion because I think the question of stifling opinion is a difficult one, but at the same time, I totally understand where Aki's coming from because we don't want a lot of BS going on and very conscious, self-interested, Machiavellian BS, which will happen when one decides to use listener members to, let's all get together and call up at this particular time and say this particular point one right after another. It happens all the time. And how are you going to control that? Thanks.
Sharon, to the stat.
Sharon, you'll be after Beth. Go ahead, Teresa.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have a hard time muting here. Now I'm almost forgetting what I wanted to say. I support this motion. We have people that have run for office and said they were running for office. And when we allowed all the candidates to make a statement, said, well, I'm not really interested in winning this race, but I said I was going to run so I could give everybody an opinion. And we have James Dingaman just said, we have people that line up people to make malicious statements. So I think that our NES needs to take those things into consideration. And in many instances, it's clearly a strategy to disparage other people. Thank you.
Next is Beth.
Thank you. Yes, I would appreciate guidance about how to manage public comment within committee meetings. KFK committee meetings are often used as a battle. Not always. Sometimes we have pretty copacetic meetings, but that they are at times targeted for like procedural blockages and for things like this. And in general, public comment is supposed to be free for the public. We're not supposed to be editing public comment, but it's just not clear to me how I would manage this as a chair. At what point would I be free to intervene, especially given that as a chair, I am one of those candidates too, and it could be misinterpreted as a competitive thing. So I think we need more guidance on how this would be implemented. Thank you.
Thanks. I'll just react to that quickly by saying, good word. I mean, in some ways, the best way to solve this problem is to just either have no committee meetings, have no public or no community comment, which of course, well, honestly, LSBs need to have community comment, but individual committees do not need to have committee community comment. That's not required by our bylaws. So, you know, that is a way to, you know, kind of deal with that is to just limit community comment, you know, and or don't stream it, you know. I mean, that's the way to keep it, you know, from being, you know, basically a broadcast message. So, okay, Sharon was next.
Well, when you're looking at eliminating people from voicing their opinion, and then you're saying, well, maybe this is the person who got together with whoever the campaign person is and decided to do such and such. There are a number of people who are members of the various channels, and they don't have to all the time get together with a campaigner to voice their opinion, because many of them have their own opinions. And to like put that type of thing on the person who is campaigning and say, well, they got together and whispered a little something in their ear, it, you know, it may be true. And it may be something we might want to believe because we want to have a negative thought regarding this campaigner. But I remember I was in a campaign one time and the chair said something negative about me. No campaigner, no person on the thing. And it was the chair who was negative. So you don't know how it's going to go. And I didn't sit down and say, well, gee, maybe he got together with the group and decided to say this negative stuff, but these things happen, you know, and it's like, I don't know how you're going to control it, you know, unless you're going to do like we do here on the national and just not having anybody have the opportunity to speak. But even with that, you still wanting people to contribute to the station. So you have these kind of people in some way so that they can contribute to the station to make them feel a part.
Thank you, Sharon. Okay, Dingman, and then I'm sure that we're past time on this.
Let me just be quick. Goes with the nature of us having a democracy, and people have to expect that all sorts of crazy stuff will happen, and that's inevitable in governing the system the way we chose to do it 20 plus years ago.
We actually have 1.5 more minutes, Chair.
Oh, well, okay. But what you all are not aware of is that there is another motion to pass in this half hour slot. So it wasn't designed to take up to be taken up all by this particular motion. So sorry, I just took the last bite of my dessert. There's no further hands. So are there any objections to the motion out of the Elections Committee on Fair Campaign Provisions?
I object.
Can that motion be read so that we know what it is now?
Sure. Yes, I can read it if you want. Oh, go ahead, Aki.
No, you have a better English than me.
Okay, fair enough.
How about I've been amending it. Can I read it?
Yes, you read it, Nancy. Go ahead.
Okay. PNB recommends amending paragraph number 6 on fair campaign provision of Pacifica's election rules to add the words "an individually named Pacifica employees, staff, and board members" so that it reads, "No person in management or staff, paid or unpaid, nor any candidate or candidate supporter may use foundation or station resources to make libelous or slanderous statements about candidates and individually named Pacifica employees, staff, and board members through any of its resources, whether on air, via the web, hard copy, mailings, or otherwise."
Okay, that's the motion. And again, let me say, F, are there any objections?
I object. Yes.
Object.
Okay, we've got some objections. Nancy, Liz Kahn, let's just go to a roll call vote on this one.
Teresa Allen. Teresa, can't hear you.
Teresa says yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for your patience.
Adriana Casanave. James Dingman.
Pass.
Vanessa Dixon-Briggs.
Abstain.
Thank you. Fred Dodsworth.
Yes.
William Foster. I don't think he's ever... Okay, Sue Goodwin. Can't hear you, Sue. I'll come back to you. Heather Gray.
Heather Gray.
Yes.
Yes. Hi. Adriana's here.
Okay.
Goodwin said yes.
Goodwin said yes.
Unmute Sue.
Correct.
Let me do that. Okay, Goodwin.
Okay, Goodwin.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Heather Gray.
Yes.
Donna Grimes is not here. Avelia Jones.
Yes.
Alexa.
Yes.
Marianne Martinez is not here. James McFadden.
No.
Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
James Sagerton.
Yes.
Sharon Salam.
No.
Aki Tanaka.
Yes.
Beth Van Gunten.
Abstain.
Egberto Willis. Adriana Casanave.
I'm sorry, but I don't know. I just came in. I don't know what are we voting on. Chair? Can you hear me?
Yes. Is that an extension?
Yes. Sorry. We're voting on.
Wait a minute.
Your phone's echoing.
Because I had both microphones open. Okay, I have one microphone open. The motion that we're voting on is the one that was passed by the Elections Committee, and it basically is the PNB asking the election supervisor, the national election supervisor, to add to the fair campaign provisions the phrase and individually named Pacifica employees, staff, and board members in paragraph 6 of the fair campaign provisions, so that in that paragraph applies to no person in management or staff, paid or unpaid, nor any candidate or candidate supporter may use foundation or station resources to make libelous or slanderous statements about candidates and individually named Pacifica employees, staff, and board members through any of its resources, whether on air, via the web, hard copy mailings, or otherwise. So that's where we are.
May I ask a question before voting? Madam Chair, is that modified in the bylaw? Because the fair campaign provision is in the bylaws, right?
Yes. So to answer your question, there is a section of the bylaws that says fair campaign provisions. On the Pacifica website, there is a more extensive list of, you know, more detailed fair campaign provisions, which we have ascertained, we think this evening, that those were drafted by the National Election Supervisor, but they, you know, follow the fair campaign provisions component of the bylaws. It's just a little more detailed.
I'm sorry, but that is not clear to me. I need to vote no, because the only thing that we have is the bylaws.
No, it's good.
Yes. I don't know why my hand is up. Nancy, where are we in the voting? You're muted.
Okay, so Casane votes no. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, I vote
correct.
No.
Okay, thank you. James Dingman, you passed.
Yeah, I understand both points of view, but I'm going to have to vote no, even though I totally understand the intent of this motion. Let's the NES.
A no is good enough. Thank you.
William Foster. Donna Grimes. Marianne Martinez, Egberto Willis. Okay, the vote count is so far 10 yes, 4 no, 2 abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I'll abstain.
A point of information, we have a firm close at 10:30, which is 8 minutes from now.
Correct, thank you.
10 yes, 4 no. 3 abstentions.
Yeah, so the motion passes. Let's see. So where we are on the agenda is we are still on motions on elections, and Vanessa has a motion, which I just shared by email with everyone. Vanessa?
Okay. Thank you, Chair, very much. So I'm going to apologize to everyone. It's an important motion, but I had, with my life, everything forgotten that I wanted to introduce this. The chair reminded me, I saw it about 15 minutes ago and threw together this motion. So I'm hoping that it makes sense. Chair, I'm looking for my cell phone. We're packing to go out of town. Would you do me the favor of reading it for me, please? And then may I be allowed to motivate?
Absolutely. I'll just let you know that I'm reading your motion. And I am not packing to go out of town while I'm reading your motion.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Okay, here's Vanessa's motion. Whereas the nominations process has revealed widespread network-wide problems verifying the membership of candidates and nominators, whereas the membership of contributors varying from modest contributors to major donors is unable to be confirmed by local stations, whereas candidates and nominators were made aware that their monetary contributions were not reflected in the membership databases of local stations only as a result of the nominations process, where it is unknown how many members have been, quote, deleted from, end quote, from the membership database, whereas the widespread inability of local stations to verify membership during the nominations process portends enormous problems during the election, in that an unknown number of members will not receive ballots due to their, quote, deletion, end quote, from the membership database. Therefore, be it resolved, Pacifica will enact measures to ensure accuracy of the membership database that members, quote, deleted, unquote, from the database or restored thereto. Therefore, be it further resolved, the accuracy of the membership database will be verified before ballots are sent to members to participate in the election.
Okay, thank you, Chair, very much.
So hang on one second.
Before
you motivate, Vanessa seeks a second, I'm sure.
Second.
I heard Adriana. Go ahead. Okay. So now that it's seconded, go ahead and motivate Vanessa.
Okay. So basically, it's pretty self-explanatory in terms of participation in the nominations process revealed to me that members who are sitting on LSBs, chair of the LSB at PFW, it appears to be not just at PFW, but network-wide, that both candidates and nominators who can verify that they made their contributions with their bank, and those contributions are not showing up so that those persons are in the membership database. So the only way that the persons who have figured this out thus far are either candidates or nominators, and it's just rampant all over the network. Even major donors, people who have given hundreds of thousands of dollars, at least at PFW, are not showing up in the membership database. So I don't know why this happened, but it is potentially a huge problem because now there are members who have not participated in the nominations process who have no idea that they may have been deleted, but I'm just using the word deleted because they should be there. Now they're not. So I'm not quite sure what other word really captures that. That they're not in the database. When the ballots are sent, they don't get their ballots, then they're not going to realize necessarily that it's because they're not in the database. So the problem is something is wrong with that membership database. It appears all over the network. And it's a problem that needs to be addressed before the election. The only way some of us were able to get verified as candidates is because we're on an LSB. We knew who to call and we knew what to do. If you knew somebody, you knew something, you had some sort of inside information that allowed you to sort of cut through the confusion of trying to figure out why on earth multiple contributions were not showing up in the database. Even when I made a contribution the day I found out I wasn't in the database, I took a screenshot of the contribution and it still didn't show up at the station. So I'm like, what is going on? So the bottom line is, notwithstanding the aggravation that it caused during the nominations process, that pales in comparison to what could be the result of holding an election with a membership database that is clearly flawed. So that's why I know that the therefore clause is a little general. I wasn't quite sure what to suggest. Maybe that's up to the NES to figure out how to do that. I don't know whose responsibility that is, but it's an important issue. We've already had elections challenged. We just don't need another reason to have any more challenges. And we owe it to everybody, the candidates, the membership, for the database to be clean and correct.
I see Dingman and Fred's hands. Go ahead, Dingman.
Well, I don't know if the NES has the power to do this. It's obviously the GMs have to clean up these election lists, and what Vanessa, I'm sure there's all sorts of problems occurred We passed, I argued for two resolutions to extend it. The NES decided to ignore that. And so I think that in some ways, this is really to be directed to the GMs to continually clean up the lists. Because having this problem, I agree. Other problems might be encountered. But I don't know whether the NES has any power to have this worked upon right now. I would think the intent of the board is to make sure that the lists are as accurate as possible. And if that's the intent of this motion, I totally support it. But on the other hand, I don't know if the NES has any say in doing that, because that's more in the managerial department of managing the network and the lists.
Fred.
This is not the first time that the elections have been screwed up. I'm sure it's not going to be the last time that the elections are screwed up. I had difficulty when I ran first time 2 years ago. Kind of what we have, because we are underfunded. We are not well managed. We need to address our underlying problems, which we're trying to do right now. Holding the elections off is not going to help us at all. It's no different than the last time they held the elections off. We ended up in court. The judge is very, very clear. We need to have new people seated by the end of the year. We are unfortunately in a situation where we are between a rock and a hard place. And I don't think that this is any time where we can actually address this. I think we need to address this with our general manager. We need to address this with our executive directors. You know, this is par for the course for Pacifica. And I'm sorry it's that way, but you know, we have bigger fish to fry. At this stage of the game, we're in foreclosure. We're spending 18% on a multi-million-dollar loan. And I, you know, this stuff should have been dealt with 6 months ago. And bringing up the issues now is not going to help us at all. It's a good idea to bring up the issue to suggest that we need to address this stuff in the future. And I would totally support that, but any more delays in the election are completely irresponsible.
Okay, so I have to correct one thing. We are not in foreclosure. We may be in default, but we are not in foreclosure. I just don't want any rumors going around.
It's clear that they are holding Fred, all assets.
Yes, exactly. But that's not the same thing. If we were in foreclosure, that would mean papers had been filed, and that's not the case. Okay. So nobody's in danger of losing any buildings yet. So, Vanessa, I see your hand.
Yeah. I just wanted to respond to the points that have been made. One, the suggestion could not have been made 6 months ago, because at least for me, I'm just finding out about this during the nominations process. I believe that there was an effort by the stations to quote unquote clean up the database. So in the process of cleaning it up, I don't know if this is where what I'm calling the deletions happened. It's not okay to say this is just the way Pacifica operates. And there's nothing we should do. There's nothing we can do. The resolution does not seek to extend the election. Maybe that's what needs to happen. I don't know. It does not say that. It simply seeks for whomever is appropriate. I don't know if that's the NES. The motion says Pacifica. So I don't know if that's the GMs. But for whatever measures, would be reasonable for the network to at least look and see why all of this confusion that happened during nominations to both candidates and nominators, and how are sitting LSB members not in the database and major donors not in the database. I think it merits our attention to try to make sure that our election is ethical and fair. Because it can't be if the database is inaccurate.
Okay, so Adriana and then Sagerton. Go ahead, Adriana.
I mean, we will talk about, we have this part of the obligation of the general managers and the foundation to keep the membership up to date. I think that we cannot talk about anything about fairness with an election that we don't know who the memberships are, unless that we want to have a bigger problem in our hands. I believe that part of what the NES was saying, that they were cleaning the membership list at the station. Is this happening? Obviously, it is a must. We need to have a real membership. Thank you.
Thanks. Sagerton and then Beth. Go ahead, Sagerton.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back to the motion from Vanessa. I want to insert the words "as nearly as possible" in the of the motion. That therefore be resolved that the databases, et cetera, be cleared up. I want to insert "as nearly as possible" that phrase in the two resolving clauses. And the reason is because it's never perfect and we're not going to get it perfect in time to have this election, but we're court ordered to have this election. So it's kind of a way to say, yeah, let's do this as best we can. In other words, acknowledging what Vanessa is saying, which I found to be mostly correct.
So hang on, Jim, you're motivating your amendment and we need a second to your amendment before we discuss it. So
Vanessa,
I'm sure Jim seeks. Okay. Thank you, Vanessa. Okay. Go ahead, Jim. Sorry.
Okay. It's basically done. I'm not finding. When was the motion sent?
Only within the last half hour.
And my apology for that. I tried to raise it at the last meeting and we needed to adjourn. So then, the chair reminded me today. And so that's the result. My apology.
No worry. I actually want to make a further amendment. Maybe we can divide these. I want to say, where she puts periods at the end of each whereas clause, I want to just put and comma at the end of every each whereas clause. In addition, on the same thing, therefore be resolved, Pacifica will enact measures to ensure accuracy as nearly as possible of the membership database. And the last resolving clause, therefore be it further resolved, accuracy of the membership database will be verified as nearly as possible before ballots are sent, et cetera.
Vanessa seconds all of that.
Thank you. Did you catch all that, Nancy? You're muted. You get all of that?
Okay, so I have accuracy as nearly as possible in the first, therefore, and
yep. After and verified in the second.
After verified.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Yep. Beth, you're up.
I would just say that these elections are already being held under court order and will be under legal scrutiny. Public legal scrutiny next year when one case goes to trial. If ever there were a time to dot our I's and cross our T's, this would be it. I can attest to how extremely spotty our records have been as many decades as I've been associated with Pacifica. I don't think that the membership department has recognized me as a former member ever. That every time I show up, it's as if they've never met me before. And that's disconcerting. So I strongly support whatever we can do to clarify this. I had intended to ask for clarification of enact measures, but I think that Sagerton's amendment probably addresses that concern. Thank you.
Thank you. I see no more hands up, and we're supposed to be in closed session now, and we also had one more item on the agenda, which I wanted to at least mention briefly before we go into closed session. So now I'll go check and see. I'm sorry, Darlene, go ahead.
This is an inquiry. But Vanessa, most of your examples have been people who believe they have made donations, or you know they made donations and they're not on the membership list. But how could anybody fix that without information from the person who believes they've paid to be a listener subscriber? Because it's one thing to clean up addresses or people who think they're members, but you know they haven't paid in 2 years actually. But when there's nothing in the database about a person, there's no way to fix it unless the member or a person who believes they're a member makes contact.
Thank you, Darlene.
That was actually a question, not a statement.
No, I'm sorry.
May I respond as best as I can?
Yeah, go ahead, Vanessa. Sorry.
Okay. So I hear your point, Darlene. I do. A person has to become aware in some form or fashion that they're not in the membership database. And that happened for candidates and nominators because there was a process to verify membership. So how do we reach out to the rest of the membership to try to say, are you a member? Check the status of your membership. I don't have the answer in terms of the logistic of how. All I know is that the problem exists. And at first I thought it was just at PFW. And then I heard the stories from all over the network, the same problems everywhere. So I don't pretend to have the answer on exactly how to do it, which is why it says enact measurements or measures. And whomever the appropriate people are, and Jim's amendment addresses as best as possible, we have to do something. We can't know that a problem of potentially who knows how great the magnitude is, and then just say, oh, well. And I know that's not what you're saying, but we have to do something. We have to try to do something to fix this problem. And I think Beth raised a really good point. We're under court order. And we know now that something's wrong with our database. So how irresponsible would it be for us to know and not even try to do anything?
Yeah, Vanessa, I don't want to make an additional motion, but on August 15th, the ballots go out. And my recollection of previous ballots is there's a new cart that goes out from the National Election Supervisor that says the ballots are now out. And the solution, I think, or a provision that might help from your motion is that cart that announces that the ballots are going out should have a notice of if you don't get a ballot, this is the number to call. And that would be how people who are not being recognized as members by a ballot can call in and find out what their status actually is and cure that if it's a problem.
Well, maybe that is
okay.
One
hang
way.
On.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. And so here's the point. I believe Jim Sagerton made motions to amend, and I think we have veered off into talking again about the original motion without dealing with the amendments and confined our discussion to the amendment. And so, now I'm going to find out, are there any objections to Sagerton's motions to amend Vanessa's motion? Hearing none, we'll consider the motion amended. Fred, I see your hand.
I call the question.
Go ahead.
I call.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. You were the last person on the stack, basically. So, you know, we're just going to go to the vote. We're not even going to actually call the question. Are there any objections to Vanessa's motion as amended by Sagerton's amendments? Hearing no objections, we'll consider the motion passed. Okay, so there's one more item on the agenda. Well, okay, there's the ED report and Q&A, and as you all know, the executive director's not here this evening. She did send a report to me. I was mistaken when I thought that there were components of it. There's a couple of things that I can report on, but they're all closed session items. So effectively, there's not an open session ED report. The general counsel also told me that he did not have anything for open session. That brings us to item 9, which is a discussion on protocol for members to voice concerns about staff. So I'm just going to tee up the topic, and we're going to not actually discuss it this evening. But mm-hmm. the one thing I wanted to do was to point out to people mm-hmm. that one of the things that we have discussed doing, several people, right? And this responds to kind of a general problem, I think, which is that we have some savvy listener members who, if they have a complaint about or a concern that they would like to voice about a staff person, and I mean any staff person, I'm trying to be, high level in general. This is not masquerading as addressing any particular problem, but we have some people who are savvy and understand where to take their complaints to, but we have many people who think emailing the PMB is the way to make complaints about people, or emailing a local station board. And so the idea is that what we would do is we would have one email address, and I made up an email address, which I didn't check with any of the people who, do IT support for Pacifica. So don't take that email address as gospel, folks, because it's not set up. But basically I drafted a little, statement that each unit would put on its website that says, you know, basically, if you have concerns, here's the thing to do. And so less savvy members could say, oh, I heard something that I didn't really appreciate on the air, but I don't know who to talk to about it, and here's the thing, so that you can just send the email there. Yes, there are email addresses that others can send things to. I think, one of the things that would be useful about this email address is it would be an @pacifica.org address. And, the executive director would monitor that email inbox and then make sure that the concerns got, passed on to, whichever particular unit. And then by virtue of, knowing about it, the ED would always have the ability to then follow up with the GM at a station or the director of one of the other units and say, hey, did you deal with, the so-and-so, concern that was raised at that email address. And so I've put some boilerplate language there. I tried to keep it simple, but I am who I am, and sometimes I make things a little more complicated than they need to be. So I would be interested in lots of people looking at this, but this is really about trying to address the concerns that are sometimes made right? That one of the things that happens is, you know, personnel, you know, issues about particular people tend to be personnel matters, and personnel matters should be handled by management rather than elected delegates or directors. So, that's the point of that item on the agenda. And this is really about making it, you know, kind of a better and more widespread practice. And then one of the things that would happen is, you know, if people send emails, you know, that fly in the face of this, then we could just, you know, all directors and delegates would have the ability to point to that statement and say, here's the proper way to address this concern that you have, instead of, which is what sometimes happens now, people respond to them and say, I think you're right, or I think you're wrong, and, you know, start a lot of unnecessary and email chains about, you know, people maligning someone when they don't know enough about what's going on. And oftentimes those emails are often, you know, they're copied to email lists that people don't know who all is on the email list, et cetera. And so it's trying to, you know, bring some, you know, best practices to Pacifica. So that's what that item is. Please look at the text that I included in the agenda. And if you have suggestions to offer, and we'll take this up at a future meeting. And it's 10:51, and I don't think we have unfinished business or new business that we can get to tonight. And so I would entertain a motion to move into executive session.
So move.
Julie?
Thank you, Fred.
Madam Chair, is there a second?
Julie?
Madam Chair, I have my hand up from before.
Oh.
I've already made it.
Hold on. I wanted to make a quick announcement, Julie, before you go into executive session.
What's the announcement about, Dingman?
The announcement is Professor Patterson from Harvard, who will be talking.
Oh, go ahead.
He is the Bradley Professor of Government and Press at the Shorenstein Center at Harvard University. This is posted on KPTFX, and it will be at 2:00 East Coast time. And he will talk about something that they have as an initiative at Harvard on public radio. And this will be on the topic, can local public radio help fill the news gap created by the decline of local news? All our listener members are invited to participate. The link to the paper itself is posted at KPTFX. And we look forward to have Professor Patterson with us on Saturday.
Okay, just to be clear, it's kpftx.org. And that is Saturday, July 22nd at 2 p.m. Eastern time?
Correct.
Okay, got it.
I have a
Adriana, point, what's your question?
Yeah, I have a point of information, Madam Chair. This is important. You told me in the previous meeting that you will let us know who are the commission, the people that you select to investigate one of the violation of one of the members' term in KPFT. I wasn't, I have all the information about that, and nobody contacted me. I want to know what's going on and who are part
of that
commission.
The people who are on that are Ali Lexa, Aki Tanaka, Marianne Martinez, Donna Grimes, and James Sagerton, and I did not read those in alphabetical order. Sorry.
Don't you think that was fair if you put Maria Martinez, put me, that I'm on the other side, we saw the information? Because from where they will have the information? I was the one presenting the issue, and I was the one presenting the problem. You have there three of the people that are obviously on the other side.
Other side, that's offensive.
Yeah, excuse me, thank you. Hang on. The point is, this group is dealing with two issues. The KPFT issue, question is one of them. The second question was the terms that the folks who are now running for delegate elections, what's the length of the terms that they will serve? And so it's sort of complicated, but they're kind of there are some similarities in the following sense. It's really coming up with a coherent set of principles to abide by in making both of those determinations. It's not about sides. It really, I know people think that everything is political, and honestly, not everything is political. And Fred put a motion on the floor to adjourn, and I'm sure Fred seeks a second.
Madam Chair, when you put
second.
In that,
second. I second. Again, the seconds.
Second.
The person
thank you.
That is not, that is not fair. That is not
Adriana,
fair.
Adriana, that is your viewpoint. But we have to, I'm sorry, we have to move on. Adriana, please do not interrupt. There's a motion on the floor to adjourn, and we have things that we need to do in executive session this evening that are, frankly, more important than this, and we're going to move on. Are there any objections to the motion to adjourn to closed session? Hearing none, at 10:56 p.m., we are adjourned to closed session.